Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls until we actually ask for them, because this is going to be a fascinating program, and I think a very, very important program. You know, there is another dimension surrounding us, closer to us than we think, filled with beings of a different kind. Is it so improbable that there are those who see them and have perhaps learned the secret of harnessing those forces? Perhaps even some of us here are learning to do that. Those words come from a book we're going to be talking about today called The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by Johanna Michelson, who had actually tapped into the other dimension. And ladies and gentlemen, there is another dimension. Those of you who, of course, watch television, and shame on you if you do, but once I'll have to admit I do watch television because I want to know what the other side is doing. Every Monday evening on NBC, they have a program called Medium. And it's the story of this very nice housewife with three beautiful little daughters and a husband who has these mystical powers, and she's able to tap into the other side and see the other world, the spirit world. And this is such a popular program, and people are fascinated by this ability to tap into the supernatural. Well, our guest today has been there, and of course she has rejected this, but she has the most amazing story to tell. The Beautiful Side of Evil is what we're going to be talking about today. She's written other books as well, but I think that it's so important for you to understand that this is infiltrating every aspect of our lives. It's in our schools, it's in our government, it's in our media, but of course it's even in our churches today. Johanna, thank you so very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, I'm going to let you start out telling, you know, your story. And, of course, we're going to only have about 2 minutes, and then we're going to have to break with some of our stations and bring some new ones on. So we'll actually repeat a little of what you said, but that's the way the program works. Anyway, how did you first get started? When did you first realize that you could you were one of these people who had this gift that could actually tap into the other dimension out there?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have identified it as a gift at the time. When I was about 11 and a half, almost 12, something moved into our home. We lived in Mexico. I was born and raised in Mexico City and in the outskirts of Mexico City across the mountains in Cuernavaca. And we lived way, way out, and my family was really quite isolated. And one night, my parents had left us alone while they were going out for the evening. And it was during that time, Dr. Stan, that something totally bizarre and unexpected and totally unanticipated by me happened. About 11:30, sometime before midnight, I heard the dogs howling and suddenly heavy footsteps, my father's, it seemed, coming down the stairs. Door to his open room opened and slammed shut. Same in my mother's room. I went in to see how they were doing. My sister, who's 2 years younger than I, awakened and said, "Oh, Mom and Dad are home." And what startled me, Dr. Stan, is when I went into their room, there wasn't anyone there. I thought, well, perhaps Father went out into the garden.
Hold that thought right there. We're going to be back in just a moment with Johanna Michelson, because this was her first contact with a disembodied spirit. And this is not imaginary. It's very real. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. form an ear, as I've heard of Johanna Michelson, and of course we had her book in our library for many, many years. Her book, of course, the one we're going to be talking about today, is The Beautiful Side of Evil. But Johanna was, of course, living in Mexico when she was very young, about 11 years old, and her first experience with a disembodied spirit. Actually, one of her distant relatives, two generations before, had predicted that the gift or the curse, or call it what you will, would be passed on to somebody in Johanna's generation, and sure enough, it happened. And so she's living in Mexico. Her family is living there, about 40 or 50 miles south of Mexico City, in sort of an American housing development. And suddenly you encounter this spirit in the house.
Yeah, and it was something that was very dark, very evil, very frightening. Others perceived it as well. We lost any number of houses in those years because they said something gets frightier, we're not staying. But I recognized as time went on that I began to develop the ability to hear what people were thinking, which wasn't always, in fact, rarely what they were saying, to know when things were going to happen before they happened. And that continued through my high school and college years, and really began developing and deepening as I began to find myself a little more fascinated. We'd met Bishop Pike. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Oh, yes. He was the one who went off and died in the desert trying to find meaning for life. He was an Episcopalian bishop, wasn't he?
Episcopalian bishop of California. Uh-huh. And my family had come to know him and his family during a month when they were taking a sabbatical in Mexico. I knew young Jim Pike before he committed suicide. And so when that took place, when young Jim Pike died, he killed himself, and then his father began speaking to mediums, Arthur Ford and others, about contacting the spirit of his son, I suddenly found myself deeply fascinated and excited about trying to find some kind of an explanation about phenomena that I had no way of dealing with, no way of controlling, no way of understanding. So that really deepened my fascination and interest in that. And when I got through college, I went to school in college in the United States, Chapel Hill in North Carolina, and Wesleyan in Macon, Georgia, before that.
Hold that thought for just a moment, because we're going to bring our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Johanna Michelson. We're talking about her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. And this, 20 years ago, was very much, talked about. But then, of course, we tend to forget about these things. We become fascinated by the new fad. But, of course, we should never forget her message, because it's so apropos, increasingly apropos today. Because Johanna was able to actually contact the other dimension, and as a very young girl, why should her disembodied spirit would materialize in her home in Mexico? And of course, she goes off, she gets an education, she goes to Wesleyan College, and of course, she's telling us now that she's finishing up her college, and so then what happens, Johanna?
I went back to Cuernavaca, and I began involvement in a group called Silver Mind Control, very popular during those years in the 70s, early 80s, started by Jose Silva. And their whole purpose, it's one of many now psychic development groups that seek to train you to develop the special gifted ability of your being. Today they might tend to call it the divine self, your great wise inner self. And through these people, I began to think that I could now gain a new mastery that I had never before thought possible over the phenomena that had pretty much manipulated me. Well, and by the way, let me interject here, Dr. Stan. It isn't such a rare thing to me. U.S. News and World Report, for example, even back 10, 11 years ago, stated that Americans say they've had ESP experiences. There's about 65% in this country who've had a clairvoyant episode, about 28%, and who've had paranormal contact with the dead, about 40%, and this is an old statistic, so this has increased tremendously. I'm not as weird and marginalized, unfortunately, as some might believe. unfortunately pretty common. But one thing that was quite unusual, however, was through these people in Mexico City with the silver mind control course that I was taking, through which I was introduced to my spirit guide and began to gain this new mastery, I met a woman. I was introduced to her, who lived in the outskirts of Mexico City, and for that time, some 45, thereabout, years, had been going into a full trance state, and in the power of this spirit being, who called himself Hermanito Cuauhtémoc, little brother Cuauhtémoc. Cuauhtémoc was an Aztec prince who was murdered by Cortés during the time of the conquistadores. He stated he was coming back to help fulfill his karma. And while under the control of this spirit, Pachita, an old woman, without a whole lot of energy of her own, would suddenly become this dynamic being who would diagnose illnesses and, upon certain occasions, perform literal physical operations using nothing more than a rusty hunting knife, a pair of scissors, occasionally a bit of other paraphernalia, and had been doing some of the most, I know, medically unbelievable and astonishing operations imaginable. When I was first taken to meet her, Dr. Stan, I can't even begin to describe it. I attempted to in my book, Beautiful Side of Evil, but it really was beyond description for me because I felt, and here the key operative phrase is felt, that I had entered a temple of God. There was a crucifix on the altar. There was a picture of Jesus. There was a statue of this Hermanito Cuauhtémoc. There was a weird black bundle all tied up in dark paper with ribbons and cord around it. And there was a rusty hunting knife lying on top. And this old woman who was sitting on a cot, the first night I arrived, we were too late to see the operations, was sitting there puffing on a cigarette. And her hands, Dr. Stan, were crusted in blood up to her forearms. And I thought, God, I don't know what happened here, but I love you. You know I accepted you. I'd accepted the Lord as my personal Savior my freshman year in college. I thought I was a true Christian, a believer. And I thought that because it was clear to me by my experience that this felt so different from everything else I'd felt all my years in as a child in Cuernavaca, through college, through even the attacks I had during silver mind control with these demonic beings coming at me, that now I had found someone who would show me how to serve. And she identified me with a term I'd never used for myself before then. She asked me if I were a medium and instructed me to come back, that I was to begin working with Pachita, her flesh, the spirit called him. And sure enough, it seems, much to my astonishment, that I had been selected to take over the work Pachita was doing. Her children weren't interested. There was no one else who was as, quote, sensitive. And I began working with these people who had been given up by doctors, told they were terminally ill, and seeing the most astonishing things, Dr. Stan. I know that you've got a medical background. Any doctor listening to me would think, ah, this poor woman, she really has lost it. All I can do, Dr. Stan, is tell you what I witnessed. You know, it's been documented by people such as Andrzej Puharic, a brilliant, brilliant man who's got over 60-some patents to his credit, Dr. Stanley Krippner and Alberto Villoldo, numerous other well-respected parapsychologists, and I had my hands in it. The first operation I saw was a woman's cataracts being removed. She was sat down in this chair. I was standing literally within inches of the woman's face. The spirit arrives as we were singing hymns and reciting the Lord's Prayer. He picks up his hunting knife. He opens up a raw bottle of brand new alcohol, pours it on the woman's eye. I gasped because I thought, ah, raw alcohol on this woman's eye, but she felt nothing. She was totally conscious. This was the one, by the way, concession to antiseptic being used, was denatured alcohol. And we're all instructed to pray, and the spirit raises his knife in a salute, and then begins to scrape away directly on this woman's eyeball and lifts up a white scum, all the while asking the woman questions, are you feeling pain? Are you all right? Pours some weird balm on there, bandages her up. Doctor Stan, the cataract was gone. I worked on another operation with a man. He was from the American colony. He had an inoperable brain tumor. He'd been given up for dead by his doctors. He was told there was nothing more they could do. So we took him to Pachita, stretched him out on a board after numerous preparations and taking teas for a period of weeks, etc. Stretched him out, and I was standing again right by this man's head. Hermanito takes the scissors, he raises them in a salute, he plunges them into this man's skull, Dr. Stan, and begins cutting. You can hear things ripping. There was an actual medical doctor there, who was also one of the principal assistants. There were always two, a man who was usually the doctor or another fellow, and myself or some other woman when I wasn't able to be there. He opens, parts the skull open. The man is saying, this is the weirdest thing. I can feel these things inside my head. He's reaching in and he pulls out a mass that fills the room with an unimaginable stench. The surgeon actually told me that this was something that he had experienced. He was not a brain surgeon, but a regular surgeon, thoracic. And he said, yeah, he'd experienced this kind of stench when removing cancerous tumors. Filled the room. All of a sudden, Hermanito, the spirit, looks at me and he says, little daughter, he said, look at this brother's eyes. And I look at him, and Dr. Stan, the man's eyes were totally crossed. And I said, how are you feeling? He said, my eyes are crossed. This is too weird. So I tell Hermanito, and he said, oh my, this won't do. So he places his hand back inside the man's skull, fiddles around in there, and the man's eyes straighten out. Passes his hand over the skull, bandages him up. The wound has healed. He's taken in for recuperation. And all I can tell you, Dr. Stan, is when I checked up on this man a year and a half later when I was doing some research and follow-up, because I did my best to try to find out and keep track of what was happening to some of these patients, the tumor was gone.
And, of course, see, the thing is that we live in a materialistic world, but there is another dimension out there, and I have no question that these things can happen. They defy all rational explanation. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with the other dimension, you lose rationality. And, of course, I've heard these same stories out of the Philippines. Exactly. There are these same things, but this is all demonic activity. No, you didn't realize it was demonic at that time. You really thought it was somehow a manifestation of Christianity, didn't you?
You know, I really did, Dr. Stan. And the thing is, the vast majority of people involved in this aren't sitting out there saying, well, let's see, I want to be involved with the devil. Nor are the majority of them thinking that this is something that is leading them to disaster. Now, let me make one clarification here. When we hear about these people in the Philippines, for example, there's no question, when you talk about the occult and paranormal phenomena, the vast majority of them, I would say, are categoric frauds. No question about it. Many, you know, these 800-888 numbers, whatever, you know, call, psychic, whatever. Never mind, they didn't foresee they were going out of business and about to be sued. Somehow their clairvoyant ability failed them on this, but, you know, there are many frauds out there, and that includes with the so-called psychic surgeons. There were many frauds. Nevertheless, the Bible itself speaks, for example, in Revelation 16:14, about spirits of devils performing miracles, performing signs. Jesus himself warned us, and this is a fascinating passage which really made me stop to think. In Matthew 24, you're familiar with that passage, Dr. Stan, where Jesus was asked, what are the signs of the times, and how are we going to know when you're coming back? And we've all heard, in fact, the majority of us, about the signs of the end of the age. Wars, famines, earthquakes, tribulation, rumors of wars, all of these things that we accept. But you know what's interesting, and it's very startling for me to realize, was that the one sign Jesus mentioned, not once, not twice, but three times, was about spiritual deception.
Hold that thought.
Book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
If you're looking for a comfortable residential care facility for yourself or a loved one, consider Cozy Home in Moss Landing. The 6-bed facility provides nutritious home-cooked meals, special diets, private rooms, recreational activities, on-site podiatry, occupational and physical therapy, 24-hour supervision, as well as housekeeping, personal laundry service, transportation for doctor's appointments, and much, much more. The facility is located at 97 Springfield Road in Moss Landing. Please call Crystal at 831-840-1361, that's 831-840-1361, or Elsie at 831-840-2410, that's 831-840-2410, and ask for a brochure or a tour of the facility.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joanna Michelson, and her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, was first published back in 1982, and of course that's what, 23 years ago. And of course, at that time, she was really, of course, fascinated by what she was seeing. She was seeing people really having their sight restored, people with hopeless brain tumors being cured, and none of this really made any sense from a medical point of view, but after all, isn't it a Christian thing to do to help people? So how could anything that was this good have anything wrong with it? So you pick up the story there, Johanna.
Yeah, and I worked with her for 14 months and was increasingly concerned and disturbed, Dr. Stan, because there were predictions being made that were not taking place. A young man with whom I had grown up, who had malignancies all over his body, we performed a very extensive operation on him. He eventually died. I had been told I would become a full trans medium within a certain period of time. That did not take place. And by the way, I know why. That was the mercy of God. Because the fact is, I really was a believer during all this time, Dr. Stan. And you know, that's the thing that's so confusing, I think, to so many Christians in the church today. We figure, look, if I'm really sincere, God will not allow me to be deceived. He won't let me fall into something that is really against him. But that is so not, yeah. Sincerity and about $5, I'll get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. You know, the Bible warns us time and again about the false Christ, the false prophets. We were speaking before a moment ago about Matthew 24, where the Lord warns us, and the first thing he says is, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name saying I'm the Christ, will mislead many. False prophets he talks about. Then if he didn't get it the first couple of times, he tells you again in verse 24 and 25 that false Christ and false prophets will arise. And listen to this, Dr. Stan, because it really falls right into what we're speaking about and what happened to me. Will come and will show great signs and wonders. Those are the same words used about the great miracles, the genuine miracles performed by the Spirit of God through the Lord Jesus Christ in order to attest the truth, the validity of what he was claiming. Even so, he gives genuine gifts to those who, because they have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have been given the right to be called sons of God. God doesn't have grandchildren, and you do not inherit these gifts. You were so perceptive when you began part of the introduction for me, talking about how I had inherited this ability. My great-great-aunt said someone in my generation would inherit her gifts. It landed on my doorstep. I don't know why. Same with these little girls on that TV show Medium that you picked up on and commented on. That was such an insight, Dr. Stan, because that program is doing more to lure people in thinking, oh, that's right, an everyday, normal, adorable, likable family. This woman who is kind, self-sacrificing, her little girls who, gee, much to their astonishment, are now beginning to evidence some of the same abilities. What is the source about all of this? What is the source of this? And I think that's one of the key things that we need to begin thinking through as we encounter this. And what God finally brought me to the point of saying is, look, I'm having all these experiences. My experience tells me this is from God. But more than anything else, I wanted to know the truth. And Dr. Stan, here's something else. I was willing to give up the power I had been promised if I was proved wrong. My sister was, well, she wasn't really altogether outgrown it. She was the most annoying individual I knew at the time, a committed believer. And she kept asking me, as an occultist, all these questions. Johanna, how do you know this is from God? Well, I feel it. And I could give her all kinds of explanations. But the fact is, Dr. Stan, all I had to go on was my subjective experience. And the wonderful thing is that the Word of God, the Bible, Old and New Testament, is God's absolute truth. Which, by the way, anybody who goes to see the latest Star Wars will hear, is it Yoda saying, well, it is only the evil ones, the Sith, who believe in absolutes. Yeah. That's great for the Star Wars, but may I tell you, in accordance with the Word of God, there is an absolute. There is a living God who says, I love you. I seek to protect you. There are spirits of devils working miracles. Be alert. Do not be deceived. There is the genuine, the actual Spirit of God working miracles through those, his prophets, those who are his children, in accordance with his will. Then there's the counterfeit. Not counterfeit, Dr. Stan, in the sense that...
Hold that talk right there.
most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Joe.
The views expressed on tonight.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our special guest this afternoon is Johanna Michelson. Johanna, do you have a website or anything of this sort where people can get your books?
Actually, Dr. Stan, they can get them through Harvest House, Amazon. Any bookstore would be able to order it for them. I don't have a website of my own set up for those things, unfortunately.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, the book is still in print 23 years later, so that, I think that's amazing, because it is a very important book. In fact, as I was reading it in preparation for this talk, you know, I was marveling at how apropos it is for today. Because increasingly Christians are being told, you need an experience. If you can just have this experience, then you're going to be a real Christian. But, of course, this is exactly what the occult is trying to get you into, and trapping you and drawing you away from the validity of the scriptures, because the scriptures don't require a religious experience, do they?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, it's by faith we're saved through grace, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, mind you, experience is a wonderful thing, and as you draw close to the living God, He gives you an experience of His love, of His nearness, of His faithfulness, of His joy that passes understanding. But that's at the tail end. That's the caboose of all relationships with God. The thing about the occult, Dr. Stan, and that as you have just alluded to, is coming into the church and has been now for many years, is such a reliance on experience. You know, for decades, with Barth and Boltzmann and these other individuals, all mysticism was removed from the scripture. They were taught that in seminaries. We've got to remove all the myths, all the miracles, the virgin birth, nonsense like the physical resurrection from our Bible. No reasonable human being can be expected to believe that in this sophisticated scientific day and age. Then the pendulum swung in the other direction, and you had people who were hungry for the reality, for feeling the presence of the living God. And in our eagerness to seek the genuine, because the genuine exists, the Holy Spirit didn't croak at the end of the first century. You know, he hasn't been on a 1900-year sabbatical. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, I believe, in accordance with what I see in Scripture, are as operative today as they ever were. And you've got gifts of healing and miracles and words of knowledge and prophecy. Of course, nobody's standing in line praying and demanding the gift of administration and helps, which frankly the church needs even more. They all want tongues and the experience. With no thought, and here's the scary part, with no thought to God's command in 1 John 4, for example, among many other places, to test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Why? Because many false spirits have gone out into the world and are deceiving the children of God. The Lord warned us time and again. John warned us. Peter warned us. The Apostle Paul warned us. And we have ignored that command of the Lord to, as the Bereans did, to accept the word of the prophet and the teacher after it has been tested against the objective, solid, unexperiential, if you will, word of the living God, who gave us that word against to test our experiences and to give us that direct guidance that we need. Well, we said, you know, if I had said to myself, if people watching the TV program Dr. Stan Medium, or the 44,000, or the Dead Zone, or the Psychic Detectives on Court TV, or Charmed, or any of these hundreds of programs and movies, etc., that are coming out, I said, now let's see, what does the Word of God have to say about a medium? If I had known, if anybody had said to me, now, Johanna, you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. Praise God. Now, you've come out of an occult background. Look what it says about your activities in, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 18. I opened up to that chapter. Dr. Stan, I'll tell you, I almost had heart failure when I saw what the Word of the Living God had to say about an activity that I was so overwhelmingly convinced was of him. He says the following, and do we have time for me?
Sure, you go right ahead.
Put it briefly. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the abominable things of those nations. Then he tells us, Dr. Stan, what those abominable things are. He says, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, which was a hideous form of child sacrifice practiced in Canaan as well as the whole ancient world. By the way, I would suggest to you, child sacrifice still happens today, not just by some small groups of Satanists, not all, but some. But may I suggest that while we may no longer today be sacrificing our infants to the goddess Tanit or the god Moloch or Chemosh, we're sacrificing it to a more insidious and subtle deity, the god self, the god of the humanists. This is not a child. This is a blob of tissue. This is a mass that I can just, without conscience or second thought, wipe from my body and destroy. I would suggest to you, with compassion and tears and tenderness, but still the firmness of the Word of God, that that is every bit as much a form of child sacrifice as it was in the ancient days. But listen to what else Dr. Stan, he lumps in there with the ultimate abomination of child sacrifice, or one who uses divination. Astrology is a form of divination, the Ouija board, the I Ching that Carl Jung was fond of writing forwards for and practicing. There are hundreds of thousands of forms of divination seeking into the future by occult arts. Or one who practices witchcraft. Witchcraft is one of the fastest growing religions in the Western world today. They are a tax-exempt, recognized religion. They have the rights to practice their religion and have the same respect as do evangelical Christians before the eye of the law. But he doesn't differentiate here, by the way, between the white ones, the black ones, the yellow polka-dotted ones, or the gray ones in between. He says, or one who practices witchcraft, or who interprets omens, those who are superstitious, the ones who carry their four-leaf clover or their special dirty socks before a tennis game or whatever. You know, superstitions are the same basic form of magic. Or a sorcerer, kind of like Harry Potter. Or one who casts a spell, and here's the one that hit me. Or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, your Lord will drive them out from before you. You ever wonder why God ordered the wiping out of the people of the promised land? The Amorites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and all the rest. It's because they practiced all of these things. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, because those nations which you shall dispossess listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. What we don't understand, Dr. Stan, is we watch these engaging, engrossing, delightful, well-produced TV shows, for example, like Medium, is that in all their sincerity, in all their kindness, they are practicing what God has labeled abomination. Whoa, that one hit me hard because that's where I had been living. I understand what this woman, the character, is going through. The psychics on court TV, the psychic detectives who are helping police find little lost children. You don't think the devil knows where he left the body of a little dead child? You know what the Lord warns us about? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and boy, this was another startling passage for me, the Lord tells us there is another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 through 4, and then here's one that is worth thinking about. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. And you know, Dr. Stan, that's why I called my book The Beautiful Side of Evil. We tend to think very simplistically about evil in our society. The good guys wear white hats, the bad guys wear black hats, the good guys are self-sacrificing and devoted, as this woman is, as my mentor was, Pachita. I will tell you, Dr. Stan, I challenge anyone to show me a more kind, self-sacrificing, loving, devoted individual in her own illness and weariness. She was in her 70s when I met her. She would get up at 4 in the morning to attend to someone who was ill. There were people standing around her block for hours coming in to see her, and she would stay there hour after hour till everyone had been tended to.
And of course, how does that...
That made her from God.
Well, but how did you finally realize that you had to get away from this?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, I'd been working with her for 14 months. Finally, the Tutankhamun exhibit had gone to England, what can I tell you? And I loved archaeology, so I thought, you know what, I need a break. Things are not happening, there's something wrong here, I don't know what it is. It was the Spirit of God that was edging me on. So I went off, my sister had moved by this time to Florence, Italy. I spent time wandering around England, I finally went to visit her, and my sister literally railroaded me, quite literally, into a wonderful place that's in fact just celebrating its 50th anniversary now, Le Brie in Switzerland. Dr. Francis Schaeffer,
my
fetus,
right,
with whom I'd had some unfortunate encounters in my early years and embarrassed myself by telling them they didn't know what they were talking about. Narrow-minded, Bible-thumping fundamentalists, they wouldn't know a true miracle of God if it ran them over in the street. I knew because I had my hands in it. Never mind what you're telling me about the Bible, my experience, etc. So I went with some hesitation because by this time I was a little embarrassed at my behavior and attitude, but I thought, okay, look, I pride myself in being open-minded, as, by the way, do most involved in the New Age. I will go, but if one of them tries to cram their perspective down my throat, I'm leaving, I said to my sister. So I went, and I spent some time talking to Oz Guinness, brilliant author who's written, in fact, at the time he was working on his first book, The Dust of Death. Spent time speaking with him about reincarnation and yoga, in which I was also deeply enmeshed, another counselor there. And, you know, I began to say for the first time, Dr. Stan, what if I'm wrong? What if these narrow-minded, Bible-thumping fundamentalists who annoy the living daylights out of me have a point? And never mind how they come across, what does this Bible have to say? Because, after all, I considered myself a Christian. So I began to read what it had to say. I began to read the Gospel of John. I began to read 1 John. Fell asleep through a lot of it, tremendous warfare. But I said, God, you Show me if I'm wrong. Because if you don't, I'm going back to Mexico, and this is what I'm devoting my life to. I know the reality. I don't care that the amazing Randy is out there telling people it's all legere de main, sleight of hand, magicians pulling rabbit out of a hat, pulling chicken gizzards out of... I know. I would spend hours with this woman, Dr. Stan, helping her set up for this operation. Helping her, you know, I was there. There were no chicken gizzards being hidden. There was no little fake thumb with the betel nut juice, you know, that she was slipping on when nobody was the wiser. I had my hands in it. So I challenged God. And by the way, don't ever do that unless you really want to know the answer. Because the living God said, fine, Johanna, you want to know? Here it is. And he pulled back that veil of deception. And he let me have, in Switzerland, one night, a face-to-face encounter with the demons who had been masquerading as angels of light. I called in terror on the real Jesus, I thought, the Jesus in my psychic laboratory given to me through silver mind control. And do you know what? Those demons shrieked in laughter at me, Dr. Stan. He can't help you. We're going to kill you. And I said, I don't know what's happening. And this wonderful young, older counselor, I guess, then, she seems young now in my old age, sat with me as I ran into her little chalet covered in mud, having encountered something that almost killed me on the side of the mountain that night in Le Brie. And she sat down and prayed, and she said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to be still. I command you to be silent. And Dr. Stan, those demons were not afraid of her. They didn't stop and laugh and mock at her. They left. And I said, you know what? I think I've been following another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. You know, in Mexico, where I grew up, everybody and his uncle's cousin is named Jesus. You can stand on the side of your porch and yell, Jesus, in all sincerity. You'll be lucky if it gets you your hedge clipped. Jesus? Who? Was it the Jesus I had come to believe in? The Jesus who was the greatest medium of the seventh sphere, the wise master, the avatar, the great prophet, the Jesus for this age, but boy, Maitreya's coming and there's a greater Jesus over him. That's coming. Is it the divine principle, the spirit brother of Lucifer? What Jesus are you talking about? Because if you're not talking and relying on Jesus, God the Son, second person of the Trinity, born of the Virgin Mary, who lived the perfect sinless life in the power of the Holy Spirit, that he might die on the cross to take upon himself the penalty for my sin and yours. If you're not talking about the Jesus who died in the flesh, never mind this Da Vinci Code heresy and blasphemy based on the writings of witches and Gnostics who denied the truth and reliability of the valid word of the living God as we have it today. If you aren't following the Jesus who died, who rose again, who ascended into heaven to make intercession for you before the living God, you've got the wrong one. And it's time to say, look, never mind my experience. Yeah, but the medium is so real. Yeah, you bet it's real. Paul and Silas, remember in Acts 16, the girl with the spirit of divination? This was a girl who had a genuine, quote, gift. It's not a gift, people. It's a curse. It masquerades as a gift. But when this girl with the spirit of divination, you remember that in Acts 16, she kept following after Paul and Silas, and she was saying partially the truth, wasn't she, Dr. Stan? These men are servants of the Most High God. Listen to them. Paul turned and said to what? To a latent power? No. To a great gift and talent? No. He said to the spirit, to the demonic spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. And that woman's ability to see into the future like this poor woman in the program medium and like countless others who are listening to us as we speak, that ability was gone. The only thing that ever gets cast out in Scripture, Dr. Stan, is not from God. It's demonic.
And, of course, the thing is that if you people out there have this gift, you've got to renounce it and you've got to, cast it out. You've got to get rid of it and never utilize it again.
The thing is, it's not something that you can do except to come to the Lord.
Yeah, right.
People, you know, I used to say to my sister, but look, this is good fruit. I mean, look, Matthew 7 says, you will know them by their fruits, right? And certainly there weren't a lot of passages I knew deceived Christian that I was, but I knew that one. You'll know them by their fruits. But, you know, look at the context, and I don't know how much time we have, Doctor.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I hope you can get you back again, because I really want our listeners to understand the reality of the other dimension that's there, and believe me, it's influencing everything going on in America today. You got 30 seconds to wrap up.
Be discerning, people. Whether it is a prophet in the church, a great healer who holds massive group meetings and claims to be knocking people over by the power of the Spirit, you be like the Bereans in the book of Acts. You test the spirits. You test their words, because that is the first thing. Not my experience says, not that the miracle is real. What is the theology behind it? And that is the point of Matthew 7. Because in that day, many are going to come say, but Lord, in your name we did all these great miracles. Jesus says to them, I never knew you.
God bless you. Thanks so very much for being with us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory's going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I want to tell you that there really is another dimension, and if you don't know how to deal with coming under satanic attack, you better learn, and of course you can't do it on your own. You do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and call upon the blood of Christ to force these demons to leave you alone. And many, many people are under demonic attack. Many people are actually, many of the people, I believe, in our institutions are actually demonically possessed. But, of course, that's foolish talk. Why this other, the dimension isn't out there. I'll never forget when I got the furious email from a witch, because I've done a program, a radio program, and she told me I'm a good witch after all. I'm a white witch, I'm not a black witch, and all we do, of course, is mix up our potions and cast our spells so we can contact the beings from the other dimension. There is another dimension out there, and you better understand it. It extends to the highest levels of our government today. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to understand what we are up against. You can get the book, the video, or the audio tape, or get them, all three of them together. And then we carry another wonderful book, a book that opened my eyes 20 years ago when I first read it, called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And it goes into the background of the occult organizations that permeate every one of our communities today, that have bookstores in every major community. And here where I live, they have bookstores right down on Pacific Avenue, putting out the books that come from the other dimensions. So, but The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow is so important. We have a 4-tape set on the pagan agenda. In fact, we even have a pagan agenda with books and with videos and with audio tape sets that will really introduce you to this whole incredible story. And then, of course, we, of course, have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends. Who is Aleister Crowley? Why, he was the person that Ozzy Osbourne sings about. He is the person that Marilyn Manson sings about. He was the one that the Beatles paid homage to, and you can actually look at their albums, and you'll see pictures of Aleister Crowley hidden there. Of course, they didn't want you to know that. He was the man that, of course, Timothy Leary, and if you get the videos we have, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You'll actually see Timothy Leary, who led the drug revolution, and of course worked with the CIA, saying he was just carrying out the program of Aleister Crowley, who was known affectionately by the people in Scotland as the Other, a Loch Ness monster. And he lived, of course, on Loch Ness, and he was just totally evil. You need to get our videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, available both in video or on DVD. And there, of course, you'll see Ozzy Osbourne and Marilyn Manson and the other popular people singing about Aleister Crowley. You'll see Michael Jackson walking backwards. You'll understand why Michael Jackson is who Michael Jackson is. You'll understand how many of our people involved in the music industry and in every aspect of our lives have gone over into the other dimension. They've tapped into the other dimension. Let me recommend, if you have not yet seen the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions, both on video or on DVD. They are truly a life-saving experience and a life-changing experience. And if you have children or grandchildren, they must see this and understand we're up against. The video, Megiddo 1, 2 1/4 hours, which takes you into all of the prophecies, takes you into Edgar Cayce, who was a psychic healer, and Nostradamus. But where did their energy, where did their power, where did their supernatural power come from? And then Megiddo 2, another excellent 3-hour video, and actually I'm in that. It's available on either video or DVD. And we talk about Helena Petrovna and Blavatsky. You'll see the Georgia Guidestones in Elberton, Georgia, where they talk about the elimination of over 90% of the world's population. Understand what we're up against, ladies and gentlemen, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. Until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again. May the Lord be with you.